Today's podcast is brought to you by drinkers like you. To help support the show, visit patreon.com/haveadrinkshow.
Thankfully, no one here has celiac disease, because that would drain the joy from our lives. No beer, no thank you. However, that isn't an option for everyone. So when life doesn't give you gluten, make gluten aid? That doesn't work. But there's still a way to ferment without the usual ingredients, and tonight we're going to talk about that. So search your shelf for something without gluten, and join us as we have a drink.
Welcome to Have a Drink, the show where you learn along with us about what you drink. I'm Brittany Lee Walker.
I'm Justin Frazier.
I'm Christopher Walker.
And I'm Casey Price.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. Well, I think it's time for some gluten. No, well, no gluten.
It gets super awkward. This is where I guess we need to say it again just to reiterate. This is a new possible format. We want you all to let us know if you like it or not. I guess stay tuned to the end for the feedback info, but this is where we used to do banter. Banter is now at the end of the show. This is a record ahead, and we haven't done one of these in a while, but it gives us...
Yeah, it's really been a minute.
It'll give us a few weeks off.
Easter happens, and some people want some pictures of some small children hunting for eggs, so...
Hey, our kid is pumped at the idea of hunting for eggs.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be. I'm just saying for me, I don't know when it happens because it does not affect my life.
I guess, speaking of eggs.
Been on that truck. Cheeky bastards.
Been on that truck. Been on that truck.
Been on that truck.
Really, we got to change that sounder.
Is gluten in eggs?
Probably not.
Mm. Just like,
no.
No?
Look, all I know is gluten is like the force. It's all around us. It binds us.
I'm gonna look for that clip.
Flows through us.
It flows
through us.
It literally does.
It penetrates us. It binds
us.
Glutinous beings are we, not this crude matter.
Glutinous. Sounds horrendous. And yet...
And yet I want a loaf of bread right now. The Celiac Disease Foundation says gluten is a general name for the proteins found in wheat and its byproducts, as well as rye, barley, and
Nope.
All the fun grains. Like.
Do you want to have a good, enjoyable time? Well, too bad. Tricycle is a new cross between wheat and rye. Then why not call it rye or reet?
I'm for reet.
Golden opportunity missed.
Pretty sure there's got to not be a copyright, you know, someone that can't own the rights to reet.
TM.
Okay, so here it is. Triticum is the word for wheat, and cecal is the word for rye.
No, the word for wheat is wheat, and the word for rye is rye. You know how I know that? Because it's the words.
Because it's in the name.
Sorry. So gluten helps foods maintain their shape, acting as glue that holds food together. Again, it's the force.
Gluten.
Again, wheat. Rye.
Sorry, now I'm picturing Futurama. It's like, what are you not getting about this? Fire, hot, professor, smart. Oh, God. Going back to high school health class, we know that humans get their macronutrition from three major types of compounds: fats, carbohydrates, and proteins.
I'm pretty sure Bill Nye is going to cut in here any second.
In brewing, we are looking to use sugars or carbohydrates contained in a grain to make beer. But in that process, the grains we use typically contain these other proteins called gluten. The proteins formed in the barley start in the field and are affected primarily by fertilizers and weather conditions. Hot, dry growing seasons will cause elevated levels of protein in the barley, while cool, damp growing seasons will create more moderate levels. Fertilizer is important because under-fertilized fields will yield lower proteins, which at their basic levels are carbohydrates with added nitrogen atoms. Just picturing, like, I hear nitrogen added nitrogen atoms. It's like, oh, it's like a nitro carbed. It's like, oh, smooth.
It's like a Guinness.
Yeah. Nitrogen and fertilizer is what gives a plant energy to grow. So it makes sense that it will have an effect on the overall protein levels in the harvest. People with celiac disease or gluten intolerance have various effects that show up when they consume gluten proteins. Those effects are poop. I don't know, just screwing around. Celiac disease is, which really should have read the next sentence before I started to, you know, screw around. Celiac disease is a serious autoimmune disease that occurs genetically predisposed in people where the ingestion of gluten leads to damage to the small intestine. It's estimated it affects about 1 in 100 people worldwide. Like when people with celiac... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
It's honestly like a nightmare. Like,
that's a lot more than I thought, a number of people, actually.
Yeah, I don't know, it's... I know you can live a modern life with, you know, with celiac disease, and you can avoid these things. It's very doable now. But stop it. It's tricky, though. 20 years ago, how hard was it? Because it was hard to get away from milk and things. Like, you couldn't get away from lactose.
Now everything's milked.
I got an old friend, an old coworker that has celiac disease, and I used to joke to her though that one day I was just going to come up to her with just a bag of pure gluten and just go pocket sand. She didn't find it as funny as I did. I don't know why. But yeah, when people with celiac disease eat gluten, their bodies mount an autoimmune response that attacks the small intestine. I wonder what the end result of that's going to be. These attacks lead to damage to the villi, the small finger-like projections that line the small intestines that promote nutrient absorption. There we go. When the villi get damaged, nutrients cannot be absorbed into the body properly. That is also a problem.
Not only can they not be absorbed properly, you also are prone to what is now being called leaky gut syndrome. Where the brain, or so where the blood and the intestinal contents are very much more interacting with each other, and so it kind of like things can get in that shouldn't be able to get in, between those damaged villi.
Not the kind of leaking I was expecting us to be talking about.
Yep.
Well, when making beer, brewers tend to select varieties of barley with lower protein contents, while the distillers select for higher protein. It's because the enzymes that break down starches into sugars and proteins based, and the distillers need more enzymes to convert the unmalted adjuncts like rye and wheat into sugar. Brewers would rather have more starch in the grain that will eventually be turned into sugar, because they will have enough enzymes and extra proteins. Just means less sugar in the end for an all malt mash. Just as we use the enzymes to break up large starch molecules into simple sugars, brewing chemists have developed enzymes that break larger gluten proteins into smaller components. Beers made with these enzymes may not be called gluten-free beer, however, as they started with gluten in them in the first place. They may only be called gluten-reduced. Still, these beers are less likely to have 10 parts per million of gluten in the beer once finished. 10 parts per million is the lowest value that can be detected in gluten tests that can be used on beer or in other alcohol-containing substances. It has been determined the effects of gluten components after they have been broken down on all celiac patients, so your mileage may vary with your gluten-reduced products.
Yeah, it's not been determined, actually, by the time they get broken down, if those components have any effect on celiac patients. And then it's also, it could be, okay, some people they do, some people they don't.
Mm-hmm. See, so. Now I'm really wishing, that, spoiler alert, we're not drinking to style this episode. I'm really wishing we had gone because Jungle Gems has an entire section labeled gluten-free.
I forgot about that. See, yeah, because all I can think of when I think of a gluten-free beer is gluten-y.
Yeah, that's the New Belgium.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that exists anymore.
Oh, no.
This, my old actually, one was Breckenridge.
I was looking up article.
I think.
For, and like
Stone has
last
one.
Last month, I think. Stone has one, and I don't know. They're more common now than they were, obviously.
That I remember before, it used to just be like the New Belgium and Stone ones. And like if you were looking for gluten-free beer, that was it.
I feel like Rheingeist had one.
Yes.
I thought that, too. But yes, I didn't see it today. That's for
I think sure. I can't think of its name, but
they might have entire lines that are like technically gluten free now.
That might, yeah. I don't know.
Like it's not. It wasn't what they set out to do, but it just kind of ended up that way.
But all I know is a life without beer and whiskey is not a life worth living.
Pretty much. So, distilled spirits are typically gluten free.
Oh, see, there we go.
But for a different reason. While a whiskey may be made with grain alcohol, which contains gluten, the distillation process will leave the gluten behind when the product is made. The vaporization point of the gluten molecule is much higher than that of alcohol or water. Good to know.
Okay.
The celiac
and that makes sense when I'm thinking of like a column still or something where it's like, oh, yeah, you're literally just getting... All right.
Yeah, cooking it out. The Celiac Disease Foundation has concluded that whiskey, regardless of the grains used to make it, is gluten-free as a result of distillation process. I keep wanting to use a different word that has no meaning here. Yeah, yet some individuals with celiac disease and gluten sensitivity may react to whiskeys made from gluten-containing grains.
And that has a lot to do with sloppy processing. So if you run a still really hot, it starts bubbling up, and what bubbles up may flow over into the container. And even though it's not truly distilled, it's just kind of the spill and the backwash from a high amount of like activity in the kettle. Also, if you've got an open container of alcohol right beside powdered malt or powdered grains, you know, that could definitely fall in there and change things.
What? No, the devil you say.
The TTB, however, does not allow for any distilled alcohol made from gluten-containing ingredients to be labeled as gluten-free. Products using distilled gluten-containing grains can, however, use the statement processed or treated or crafted to remove gluten. Additionally, these products must state that they're made from gluten-containing grains and that it can't be verified that 100% of the gluten was removed during distillation.
That's fair, though.
Yeah. For those with gluten intolerances, beverages like wine, cider, and liquors should contain no gluten unless it was added in the process via a flavoring or other processing chemical.
Or cross-contamination. Yeah. I probably should put that in there, too.
Some beers may also be labeled as gluten-free because they use exclusively grains and sugars that do not contain gluten. Sometimes these grains are used simply because they taste good and add something to a product already using barley, which contains gluten.
Oh. So now let's get into the various different grains out there that are considered alternative grains. Not all of them are necessarily gluten-free, but they're considered alternative grains by the BJCP, and so not your traditional barley, malted barley, wheat, or corn. Those are the main ones that you would normally see in beer.
Ah, corn. All right.
Corn.
Oats would be one example. While it does.
What about Hall? What about Hall?
Okay.
I'm glad we're giving Oats top billing for a change then.
Oat and Hall. While it does not contain gluten itself, a beer may have oats added in to give a creamier mouthfeel. Stouts may. Yeah, the current movement, well, I should say the most recent movement in craft beer would really have you hurting.
Yeah.
Because the pastry stout movement is not good for people with celiac.
It's not good for anyone, honestly.
No. Stouts made with about 10% oats have a sweeter, smoother flavor. Some beers may be made with 100% gluten-free grains. We'll talk about these alternative grains and what flavors they may add.
Flavor country.
All right, let's start this trip into flavor country. It is buckwheat belongs to a group of foods commonly called pseudo cereals.
Okay.
Pseudo cereals are seeds that are consumed as cereal grains but do not grow on grasses. Other common pseudo cereals include quinoa and.
We said amaranth, but I don't know that that's correct.
Looks good for me.
Amaranth. My brain just went, I'm on a Marth.
That's it.
Also, I need to talk to the person who decided we're pronouncing that quinoa.
Quinoa?
Yeah.
I heard someone say quinoa or something like that, and I was like.
No, in true show fashion.
It should be
quinoa.
You got any of that quinoa?
It's what prevents you from getting...
It genuinely hurts.
God, I want to do that in a restaurant at some point.
But then you're person who earnestly says tortilla or something, you know? Like, it's stop.
Well, yes, but also...
Quesadillas and fajitas.
I need 1,500 chicken fajitas.
That, you know, so... From the first time I saw, like, that's the first episode of Family Guy, I was, like, that joke was just so over my head, because I was just like, the hell are they getting at? Because, it was so beyond me that someone could mispronounce it to that degree, that the joke was lost on me, until it's, like, seriously 15 years later, and I was like, oh. I was like, oh, they're just driving home that he's an idiot and doesn't know fajita. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Pseudo cereals, gluten-free. Yeah. Buckwheat is not related to wheat and is thus gluten-free. It's used in buckwheat tea or processed into...
Is that Groats. Oats?
Please tell me it's supposed to be oats.
No, that's groats.
What are groats?
It's well when a mommy goat and a daddy oat really love each other.
So if you
you make a goat out of oats.
If you take a grain and take off the hull on the outside and just crack it up a little bit. So like a whole grain may be one whole piece, but a groat may be if you broke that into four pieces.
Oh, okay. I had to look up.
I fully get it, but I'm going to keep snickering like I'm 12.
It's kind of like everything in the grain except for the husk.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm just like, no, you're groat. That's got to be like I don't know. I'm like, it's like your taint foreskin or something.
Look, you got him by the groat.
Got him by the groats.
All right.
I also don't like if buckwheat isn't a form of wheat. Why are we calling it buckwheat?
That's a great question.
I do not like this.
It's a trend of wheat.
This is annoying, and they should stop.
Well, anyway, buckwheat is used.
Let's call it groat instead.
It's used in buckwheat tea. Who would have thought buckwheat's used in buckwheat tea? Or it's processed into groats, flour, and noodles.
Here's even better, Brittany. It also has the name beach wheat because it looks like the seed from the beech tree.
No.
And so it's neither beech tree nor wheat. But its name is beech wheat.
Stop it. It's like at some point you're just like, could somebody else be in charge as far as words go? Like, I don't... It's like... red onions that are obviously purple, and like, I don't know.
I'm just thinking of those TikToks you used to send me of the guy going like,
"Oh,
mouse,
I love that guy.
Mice,
yeah,
moose, moose, not meese,
not mooses,
moose. Not mooses, moose. What? So yeah,
yeah. That's one of the best TikToks ever.
The groats used in much the same way as rice are the main ingredient in many traditional European and Asian dishes. I'll bet they are.
Oh, yeah. Get some of that traditional groat.
Buckwheat has become popular as a health food. Yeah, it's been a popular health food for a while, but due to its high mineral and antioxidant content. Its benefits may include improved blood sugar control. I might need some more...
Need some groat in your life.
Yeah. Like barley, they have endosperms.
What is that?
Oh, do we make a buckwheat cereal and the tagline is, it's groats?
Oops, all groats.
Oops, all groats.
Oh, this one's off the rails. We're not even halfway through.
Or all right. Oops, all endosperms.
All right. It contains.
How do you say that word?
Which one?
Barley.
Diastatic?
No. They have endosperms and.
Oh,
that weird word.
Aileron.
Aileron.
I don't know. I took a guess at it.
I was in my head.
Probably
I said aileron.
Aileron. Yeah.
And so I don't aileron. Know. You know, whatever.
Aileron.
Exactly.
Anyway,
which is the proteins that are stored as granules inside the cells of a plant seed.
Huh. All right. Making up words. And contain the diastatic enzymes alpha amylase and beta amylase.
Aileron.
Okay. Aileron. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
The more your aileron know.
Brother to Elrond.
I was like, I went there, and I also went L. Ron Hubbard.
That's where when he said L. Ron, I went Hubbard. And like, what was the book? What was the book last time?
Are you saying we're trying to loop this one back around to the last episode?
Daddy's drunk. Oh no!
Oh,
Bobby's drunk, again.
Wasn't it Danny or?
I think
it was Bobby.
Bobby's okay. Drunk again.
Bobby was drunk again. I drank a lot of scotch last week.
Oh, God. Moving on. The proportion of buckwheat in a mash may be as high as 50%, though experimental mashes with 100% buckwheat have been reported in brewing literature. However, because of the buckwheat's relatively high protein content, a mash with buckwheat generally necessitates a grist-to-water ratio of 1:4 or thinner to avoid excessive mash viscosity, clumping. I hate when that happens. And low extract volumes. I hate when that happens even more.
And that 1:4 usually means for every 1 pound of grain, you need to add 4 pounds of water.
Wow.
Look, the one thing I've got going for me is I do not have low extract volumes. The nurse told me I have great volume.
Wow. We haven't even been drinking that much right now.
No, we're just slap happy. I don't know what it is today.
All right. Spelt, also known as Dinkel.
Dinkelwheat. I take that back. The way they're interpreting it here is 1 pound of grain, 4 quarts of water, so a gallon per pound.
Oh. Okay.
Yep. So eight pounds for every 1 pound.
Eight pounds. Of water. Also, this episode is just wonderful for weird words.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I mean, it's great scientific words. Like, those are fantastic when you're starting to get a buzz going.
Like groat and spelt.
And dinkle.
Dinkelwheat.
Spelt, also known as dinkelwheat or hulled wheat, which is what I've heard it as, is a species of wheat that has been cultivated since approximately 5,000 BC.
I'm picturing, like, the Fairly Odd Parents dad of going, like, dinkelwheat.
Dinkelwheat. Dinkelberg. Spelt was an important staple food in parts of Europe from the Bronze Age to medieval times. Now it survives as a relic crop, or relic, relicit crop in Central Europe, and it kind of is a relic, and Northern Spain, and it has found a new market as a health food. Spelt is sometimes considered a subspecies of the closely related species common wheat, in which case its botanical name is considered to be, we talked about this earlier, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Triticum?
Triticum?
Is...
Estevez.
Yep.
Estevum.
Nailed it.
Subspecies spelta. Spelt does contain gluten, but is used for its slightly sweet, more nutty, spicy flavor. Has a similar mouthfeel to wheat malt as well, but with a softer, more pillowy feeling.
Sorry, I'm still thinking of the idea of you know, hulled wheat is like, you know, like, oh, right, it's a health food. They're like, oh yes, would you like to eat like a medieval peasant? No, I wouldn't.
I mean,
they were in such great shape because they worked all the time and they died at 30.
It's the paleo diet. It's like, oh, do you want to eat like, you know, like a caveman? It's like, no. Have you? Again, they weren't in great shape because of, you know, for health reasons. It was, yeah, it was what they could eat. It's also like, should we add a degree of, you know, ground up rocks? Because that's what was happening. Their diets were more like a bird's. Like chickens, you need to be swallowing small pebbles to help grind up the food.
I got a gizzard.
Yeah, I was going to say that went into your old caveman gizzard. That's what the appendix was for.
Oh, didn't talk at your butt. I've got a new piece of info on that one.
Okay. Oh. Sorry, it's just a dumb joke I was making.
I need the throwback. We've discussed appendix uses in the past.
Who hasn't? All right. So I initially was like, oh, we're going to talk about the sweetening things now. And I'm like, oh, this is a grass? Never knew anything about sorghum. So sorghum is a grass, apparently, that provides a gluten-free grain that is grown widely as a food crop in Africa and Asia, as well as parts of the Americas and the Oceania. Sorghum is related to millet, and although there are numerous species under sorghum genus, the main crop variety is sorghum bicolor. In the U.S., it's chiefly cultivated as a substitute for corn for livestock feed and or bioethanol production. It's also turned into sorghum syrup, which is, I think, how we would know it most.
I mean, you tell me there's a syrup? Yeah, that's how I'm going to know something.
Yeah. Sorghum is well adapted to growing in hot, arid climates and requires sustained high temperatures for a high yield. Sorghum subspecies are grouped into grain, grass, sweet, and broom corn varieties. All right.
Broom corn.
Yeah.
Broom corn. Between corn and syrup, now I'm just thinking about my grandma making pancakes, and it was like, here's your corn syrup.
Yeah.
There's no maple or anything. No, corn syrup. All right.
So another aside, we're kind of starting to get on to, we got that from Costco, right? It was a maple agave syrup.
It was Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's maple agave syrup blend.
It's so good.
Mm.
It was only like $2 too. Just like
corn syrup. Just a jug of it.
Just some like
that's basically what we have. At this
point. You say Karo corn syrup?
Pretty much. Just did it, did pour it, that on there.
Like, did it even have the coloring added, or is it just the clear?
No, clear.
Oh my god! So you might as well.
You say
look like
you
you're
say that, and I'm just they're like, all right, I'm eating. I'm going, it's pretty good. In fairness, it's just sugar.
Yeah, I mean, I guess look, it would look like you're just pouring like KY jelly on your
face. I said the clear color. I'm no.
See, me and my dad were talking about this not too long ago, and it was literally us going like, yeah, I mean, is that weird? Like, I apparently people find that weird. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it seemed weird at the time, but it was pure sugar. It was tasty. Dad's like, yeah, that was the end of the thing. And it was cheap.
Aunt Jemima too spicy or flavorful?
No, I think it was just they had bought a lot of corn syrup for other stuff, and they just went, don't even bother going to buy more stuff. Go. Just pour some syrup. We have syrup. It's corn syrup. All right.
I mean, that's fair. And there's probably no difference in doing that versus like...
It's Eastern Kentucky. The reason was someone was being cheap.
Yeah. I was going to say there's no difference still, in that versus like honey, but I don't know. Honey's at least natural. I don't know.
I mean... Yeah. It, naturally, corn becomes a syrup when you do that process to it.
Yeah. Well, I just think of corn syrup as like... okay.
No, I know.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Well, sorghum also ruins me because I think of the sorghum festival back home. Or is it like West Liberty or somewhere that has it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I still have a cheap plastic coffee cup from that thing.
I am aware of what you're talking about. I can't remember where it is.
Yeah.
Nor have I been.
Look, Kentucky has those counties. Some of them have some really weird festivals. Can we mention court days? The hell's that? So what's that about?
No, it's supposed to be great, though.
The best one, like Apple Day? The hell?
Yeah.
No, Apple is
no,
like,
you can't defend that.
You can't defend an Apple festival in the fall? Seriously?
I don't think it was the fall, was it?
Yeah, it's in October.
Even Floyd County's.
I think it's earlier.
Floyd County's is one of the biggest stretches where it's like Jenny Wiley days. It's like because she passed through here.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say my town's at least like apples. It's fall. Okay, sure.
But
you get a lot of amazing
see, ours food. Ours was red, white, and blue. Why? I don't know, man. America.
But Pike County, they have the winner of them all.
Yeah, that's
it,
true.
It is Eastern Kentucky. Through and through hillbilly days, and it is all of Eastern Kentucky, and I think even parts of West Virginia and Virginia.
They're all like, also no. The same festival. It's the same carnies, well, just yeah, hitting yeah, town yeah. to town.
But hillbilly so, like, days represents and is bigger than all of them.
All right. Anyway,
sorry, we're tangenting hard today.
Yeah, it's because it's an off week, and we're all just like, what?
Tangent hard with a vengeance.
So, grain and sweet sorghums can be used in brewing. That's the moral of that story. Anyway, the use of sorghum as a brewing grain is traditional in Africa, where sorghum-based alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages have been made on a small homebrew scale for centuries. Sorghum is also widely used in the modern African industrial brewing, because domestically produced sorghum is less costly than imported barley. That's fair. Guinness Stout, for instance, is made in Nigeria from a sorghum mash and malt extract. Sorghum can be malted in a fashion similar to barley, but requires higher temperatures for germination.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would never have known that about the Guinness thing.
Yeah, also, I'm now very curious about this, about these home-brewed sorghum.
Yeah.
But that's just because I'm, like, it's like, I've not had an African... alcohol before. I'd like to know more.
Yeah. So in brewing, malted sorghum behaves very similarly to malted barley. In the mash, it's hydrated, its enzymes break down starches to sugars, and the sugar-containing wort is boiled, cooled, and fermented with brewer's yeast. Unmalted sorghum can also be used as a starch adjunct in brewing. Notably, some traditional African sorghum-based beverages are fermented with lactobacillus, or maybe produced by way of a sour mash to generate a sour-tasting beverage. Sorghum malt is not widely available in the U.S., but sorghum syrups, of course, can be used as a substitute. as we have discussed, more or less. In North America, the increasing incidence of celiac disease has led to the production of several gluten-free commercial beers made from sorghum in conjunction with other gluten-free grains, including rice. Have a Bud Light.
I was going to say, yeah.
You're good to go.
I was going to say, you got real close there to celiac denier. Coincidence of celiac and gluten.
Did not mean to be that person. So
buy my new vitamin.
Lakefront Brewery of Milwaukee, Wisconsin launched its new grist in 2006. AB InBev produced the first nationally distributed gluten-free beer also in 2006 under the brand name of Red Bridge. More recently, the first commercial American beer brewed from 100% malted sorghum was introduced by Bard's Tale Brewing Company in Buffalo, New York. Millet belongs to the same grass family as barley, maize, and sorghum. It also has a nutty corn-like flavor. It's said to be a versatile crop because of its ability to thrive in harsh conditions. Millet is another ancient crop, possibly dating back to 2800 BC. There are numerous varieties of millet, with proso millet.
I read that as Prosecco millet.
I almost said proto, so we're all in the great boat. It's the common millet. It's likely what you'll find at a place like Whole Foods or a local organic market. Yeah. There doesn't appear to be a vast amount of research done on brewing with millet, but it does appear to produce acceptable beers. Across the literature, millet was often compared very closely to sorghum, which has been used in many parts of the world, mainly in European-type lagers.
That's weird. I was just about to think, I don't know if I know anywhere that makes uses millet for beer.
I am completely unaware of any.
I'm not a millet drinker.
Millet light.
Millet light.
It's millet time.
I don't know.
If I make one, that's definitely going to be what it's called.
It's millet. That's a law. That has to, that's a thing that needs to
edit
happen.
This out of the podcast. We can't let anyone else know this.
We have already copywritten that, little do you know.
TM.
Quick, certify and mail that to yourself. It's a good way for copywriting.
Millet is a grain that must be cooked, though, before it can be used in the brewing process, much like many of the other cereal grains like corn out there or wheat, unless it's malted. Millet has a very high gelatinization temperature compared to most grains, though. In a study of over 20 varieties, the range was from 168 to 173 degrees Fahrenheit. Because this range is warmer than typical mashing temperatures, a cereal mash would have to be performed. More or less, that means that you take it and you boil it, or you basically cook it down somehow at a high temperature for a little bit of time, and then you cool it back down and add your enzymes after it's cooled. Your enzymes are going to denature. They're going to go away, and you can't use them at a certain temperature, so you've got to cook it, cool it, and then add in other grains that have enzymes in them.
Sorry, my brain went to bop it for a second. Cook it, cool it.
Bop it. That's it. Yeah. Rice is probably the most widely used adjunct in the U.S., up there with corn. While a traditional brewer may be able to use rice in their mash tuns, most brewers will opt for a rice syrup, which can be purchased from most brewery suppliers. Brown rice syrup appears to be the most readily available. The syrup will add very little flavor, but quite a good amount of additional fermentable sugar, effectively providing higher alcohol with less flavor. There are many varieties of rice available. Some craft brewers are beginning to use specialty varieties like black rice to add a craft flair to what has traditionally been a macro beer ingredient.
Yeah, it's just it's the most widely used adjunct. In fairness, I have to imagine Budweiser and Bud Light account for 90% of that, and by just sheer tonnage.
My brain was filling in before he could complete the sentence. He's like, there are many varieties of Budweiser, was what my brain was finishing.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it's all used. There are very few breweries that are going to use it. And when they do, they're trying to emulate the Budweiser type drinks. While grains must usually be mashed to gain access to or unlock the sugars from the starches, many sugars are available which require no additional processing. These may be added to the boil, the fermenter, or even post-fermentation to achieve various effects. If added pre-fermentation, these sugars will typically ferment out completely, leaving only alcohol and a little bit of flavor behind with no residual sweetness. If added post-fermentation and not allowed to re-ferment, they will add additional sweetness to the beer. Honey is likely one of the oldest fermented sugar sources that isn't a fruit. While fermenting a drink with more than 50% of the fermentable sugars being honey, you would get mead instead of a beer.
That's exactly lower amounts, my question. I was going to say, at what point does it become an adjunct, and then it becomes, when does it turn it from beer to mead?
Yeah, I've always read it as what's your primary ingredient by weight, or at least your primary source of sugar by weight.
I'm picturing that little honey wand thing from like the Cheerios, like Honey Nut Cheerios thing, just like pouring into a thing of beer, just going up and mead.
So honey will add a flavor that changes depending on the type of the flowers that the bees used for collecting and making the honey. Orange blossom honeys are light and take on a floral citrusy aroma, while buckwheat honey is darker and closer to an earthy malty aroma, like a rich toasted toffee or a molasses flavor.
So I didn't know this until I was visiting my parents and they were watching some show on things like Discovery or something. About some, it's in the vein of moonshiners, but he does beekeeping.
Oh yeah.
And
he's a little crazy haired guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But like they do a thing where they bring out just all these different honeys collected from bees near different, flowers. And I went, oh, I wouldn't even consider that would make a difference.
Yeah.
So
one of your big, basically, in the farming industry, they have bee hiring companies, and so you don't need bees all the time. You don't need pollinators all the time, but it's great to have them whenever they really need them. And so they'll have, when the flowers of that plant are in bloom, they'll bring the bee boxes out, and they'll pollinate the entire field, and then they'll come back later and collect the boxes. And you know that honey is all from that type of tree. So they'll bring bee boxes out in the middle of an orange field. You'll get all that honey, and you know it's orange blossom honey. You take it to an almond field, although I've not seen almond honey. I know the bees are a big deal in the almond industry. So they'll do that for almonds as well. But basically, you're getting that exact pinpoint of this is when we got it, so we know it's always going to be these flowers.
Yeah, sorry. It was just a weird thing that I hadn't realized was like makes a sizable difference.
Absolutely. Even in the color.
Yeah.
So molasses or black treacle is a viscous substance resulting from the refining of sugarcane and sugar beets into sugar. Molasses varies in the amount of sugar, method of extraction, and age of the plant. Sugarcane molasses is primarily used to sweeten and flavor foods in the United States, Canada, and elsewhere. Molasses is the major constituent of a fine commercial brown sugar. It is also one of the primary ingredients used to make and distill rum. Molasses has a stronger flavor than most alternative syrups. So brown sugar, of course, is just simple white sugar that's been given a coating of molasses on the outside, and it lends to a lighter version of molasses with a less intense flavor while also adding extra fermentable sugars.
So can we say that molasses is why brown sugar tastes so good?
That is.
Okay.
And we should also say avoid massive waves of molasses.
Yeah, that was the thing, the most dangerous of the ingredients we were discussing. At least the most lethal. I think molasses has killed more people than anyone on this list.
Yeah.
Directly.
How many people died in the molasses flood? Was it like 14?
Something like that. And they talk about people being stuck there, and like that's also part of it. But like I'm just thinking of like the scene in Austin Powers where it's like the slow moving wave and one guy is standing going, no.
Move.
Just not.
Move. Just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Anyway. Invert sugars. So invert sugars are a mixture of glucose or dextrose and fructose produced from sugars like sucrose by the application of heat and an acid, also called a sugar doctor. You can use cream of tartar or citric acid in there, but basically you heat up a sucrose sugar. So basically what you would get out of the bag when you go to the store, and it breaks down. It takes the two molecules that are in there that make up sucrose. It's I remember the old Nickelodeon cartoons where they're reading the back of the cereal box and they're like, monodisaccharide, like all the different long words. Mm-hmm. So sucrose is a disaccharide, meaning two sugars. Glucose and fructose, pretty sure both of those would be monosaccharides within that. And so you combine those two, you get sucrose, you break them apart, and they're sugars on their own. So the addition of acid and heat lets those two break apart and lets you get glucose and fructose separate. And that's what all an invert sugar is when you have separate monosaccharides instead of a single disaccharide.
You've segregated your saccharides.
They are still integrated. They are not together anymore. We've divorced the sucrose.
Gotcha.
So
also, what is cream of tartar? It sounds fishy.
It's a powdered baking ingredient that is basically used just to add acidity, because a little bit of it would just add enough acidity in the kitchen. I think I've seen it used with like egg whites when whipping up meringues.
Yes. I thought it was just
somehow you took tartar sauce and I immediately went, no, gross.
I always think of the tartar off your teeth.
Mm. Meanwhile, Brittany was having a British Bake Off.
Yeah. Flashes. I was like, oh, meringue. Okay.
Yep. It's a dry powder-like acidic byproduct of winemaking. Comes from tartaric acid, which is the ingredient that makes wine tart, if you will.
Huh. Mm. I was just waiting for this to tie back to the Mongols somehow, because they were called the Tartars in certain certain areas. I was like, all right, come on, where's the Mongolian connection? I know it's here somewhere.
So if you make this sugar invert, it really affects the sweetness, the solubility, and the amount of crystallization that can be used in candy making. But where it's really used in the beer brewing process is by the Belgians. So the Belgians go through this process of making invert sugars, and what they do is they make Belgian candy sugars. They are caramelized a little bit differently depending on what you're going to make. We just made a Belgian quad that had a dark candy sugar in it. So it was very, very dark. Tasted very much like molasses, but it was more or less just this invert sugar that had been cooked a little longer, so it darkened up. Although you can get amber and light varieties as well.
Did I try this quad, or is this a different quad?
That was the one with the pomegranate in it as well.
Okay.
It was the one that just went on the night you got there.
Yeah, because it was like, we were talking about just like there's just, it had everything, it felt like.
Yep. So maple syrup is the last one in this list. It's another processed sugar that's made by boiling the sap of the maple tree until it becomes thick, viscous, and slightly caramelized with a distinct maple flavor. Maple syrup is a big business, and there have been attempts to steal and smuggle the substance from national stockpiles in Canada even. That's a really cool, if you can watch the documentary on the stockpile smuggler. Canada has, much as the U.S. has a stockpile, an emergency ration of gasoline that can be released in case of emergency. Canada has an emergency stockpile that can be released of maple syrup.
Honestly, I've listened to a whole podcast about this happening and like the major incident where this happened. And it honestly plays out exactly like some of our Prohibition episodes with how like the whiskey warehouses and all this stuff and siphoning it out. And like it was essential. It's like whiskey there. Like,
yes. They just have high dollar big business.
Yeah. They have government controlled warehouses where it's stored and watched over until, you know, such date is deemed to be released.
I want my bottle and bond syrup.
Yes. Oh yeah. 100% or 50% alcohol and above syrup.
E.H. Taylor maple syrup.
Oh God. Yes.
I think actually that's, Trader Joe's.
Those are some pancakes there.
Whiskey one.
Yeah.
Those are the pancakes I want.
Yeah.
That's so. There's a Mad Men episode where they use Frangelico on French toast instead of like syrup. They just grab the wrong bottle, and he's like, "Did I do bad?" He's like, "Actually, it's pretty good." And I was like, "I bet you it would be,
especially on French toast specifically." Like, yeah,
heck yeah. So it's important to note that most pancake syrups that are sold in the supermarket are not maple syrup. Instead, it's a simple syrup or a corn syrup that is then flavored with a natural and artificial flavorings.
Don't even need it.
Or you can just drink it straight out of the bottle.
Just slather that corn syrup all over everything already.
Being super troopers here.
So some ingredients that may be added to the beer that taste like maple syrup, though, if you don't want to add the sugar content of maple syrup but want to get the same flavor, are the fenugreek seed. That's what you get when you're trying to make fake maple syrup, is they use fenugreek to flavor that. And then the candy cap mushroom is really a cool ingredient. I saw a beer made out of that at the in very small batches because it's super expensive. It's a foraged ingredient, not something that they can actually grow and harvest. So it's super expensive and it takes a lot of it. But they have made a few kegs at Great American Beer Festival.
Am I the only one who heard forged ingredient, not foraged?
Yes.
Like it was smelted.
I was like, what is going on? That
ping.
Stop with this mushroom.
I heard forged as in counterfeit.
Oh,
okay.
No, I definitely got the like.
I was thinking there was a hammer and anvil as you're getting this mushroom out, like ding.
See,
I'm picturing dwarves.
All of us are going somewhere different, whereas I'm seeing people in like an attic or basement with grow lamps, growing them secretly.
I mean,
I wish you could do that. Wish you could grow it under a grow lamp.
I want to say fenugreek does not tastes like maple syrup, because that was one of the things that, like, before we had to like go through the like procedure and whatnot, it's the one of the things they tell you to get to boost fertility and whatnot.
That's why we had some of it around the house. I think that's the only reason I've had it around here. We made fenugreek cookies.
Yeah, no.
Look, it worked. There's twins.
See, that was not a good taste.
It was that or the Clomid. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's straight up the medicine.
it'll work. But the fenugreek helped, right? No, we were not. We did not stick with that one very long, or she didn't. I made the cookies a couple times, so that was it. Yeah. But. There is there's somebody that I work that I suspect highly. It takes fenugreek as a supplement because every time he walks around, he smells like maple syrup. So either he's rubbing it on himself or he's taking so much of it, it's coming out of his pores.
That's not a bad thing to like.
No, it's not a bad smell.
Yeah. You're just walking around with some pancakes, following him, just like, come on.
Can you? Come with me. Can you just imagine ingesting so much of this stuff that when you sweat, you're sweating out maple syrup? Like, just that's the smell that comes out. You're just like, you know what? I'm you know, that was the case. Yeah. No, maybe you don't shower every day.
Also, but like, wouldn't you be just eaten alive by mosquitoes?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because you're just like that much sweeter.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe if you live the life like that,
if you live the life I do, where you're inside at all times.
True.
Maybe not.
All right. So that is a breakdown of many of your gluten-free alternatives, but also many of your non-gluten-free alternative fermentables. Most of your sugars are going to be gluten-free, by the way. I didn't put that in there, but if it's a sugar base that's not coming from grain, as most of them are, then it's not going to have – it's going to be made as a gluten-free product. And if it's made in a gluten-free facility, then you're good to go probably.
See, the most important thing I learned is that someone who can't consume gluten can still consume whiskey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's saving grace right there.
That there's hope.
Yeah.
As long as it's processed in the appropriate way, yeah, you should be able to consume that unless you have a very heightened system.
They can consume whiskey, but not moonshine.
I would be
hesitant to give them something like, yeah, is that safe? Probably not.
Although it depends on what moonshine you're going for, because most of your moonshiners out there, that moonshine's never seen a grain.
Yeah.
it's pure true. Bag sugar.
Yeah.
And pure tomato paste
sugar
and yeast.
This episode also just makes me think like just how grateful I am that because like as far as I'm aware, I don't have any food allergies, and like thinking about the celiac disease and like I have a friend who has Crohn's disease. Like also can't eat a ton of different things, and then like people with like peanut allergies and whatnot. Like I'm just like, good Lord, like how do you function? I'm just because like everything is made around everything else on these like or in the factories and whatnot.
People
it's
who
like,
can't have eggs at all. Egg can't be in it or anything. It's like well then condiments are right out the window. For
yeah,
you.
Like I'm dead. Like I don't.
Yeah, one of my friend who had who has celiac, her daughter, they were waiting a while and they had to keep her on a glutenless diet at first to see, you know, if she to slowly later on try to introduce it to her to see if she had any condition. And I told him at the time, I was like, you know, eventually she's going to taste real toast for the first time and look at you and go, why have you betrayed me? You kept this from me. This was something I could have been having this whole time.
It's how you make super villains.
It's how you build bitterness and resentment in a human. I'll say that.
Speaking of bitterness and resentment in a human, let's talk about what we've been drinking.
Drink with me, friend.
I mean, I'm not really resentful or bitter about what
I was saying. We could have gone bitterness with like certain drinks, I guess.
I mean, I'm bitter and resentful, but it has nothing to do with what I'm drinking.
So I have to point out, so I looked up, Rate Beer was the only place I could find that had like a list, but of, I know, but of beer that uses millet, and I forgot about these. These are, so this one, and I'm sure it's not meant to be what I'm thinking.
No, it is.
But the name is Glutenberg. That's the name of the brewery. And I was like, if there isn't a damn printing press somewhere on that, because that's where my head went.
No, see, my first thought, and it should be to the printing press. My first thought was Steve. There needs to be a giant picture of Steve Gutenberg.
Yeah, that's where I
well,
went.
Well, it's Canadian, so I don't know if you know they're based out of Montreal, but yeah.
Look, Steve Gutenberg is a world treasure. He transcends boundaries.
Fair.
Is he? Is he really?
But back yeah, in so, back in the 80s, that man was a treasure.
They say, or is he a family-friendly 80s treasure that needs to stay in the 80s?
But I mean, that's probably fair, point. But have you seen him since the 80s?
No.
No, I don't want to.
Gone.
Keep the illusion.
He did his work, and he rode off into the sunset.
Yeah. But yeah, Glutenberg and then the Ghost Fish seem to be the biggest of the gluten-free.
He did Short brewers. Circuit and then rode off. From that horridly racist portrayal that he had to sit next to.
Oh, right. I was going to say, he wasn't the, yeah.
He
the thing
wasn't.
Was, there's a Short Circuit too, and that guy, the other guy, I think is in that one.
Yeah. It's God. Bad.
It is.
I love those and movies.
It's the one I saw first.
All right. So what we're drinking.
I went back for more.
What are we drinking?
I don't know. We're drinking beers that my boss gave me from Colorado.
I love Sorry, that's my new favorite thing. All right, no, we got to get this back right this train. What are we drinking? I don't know. What are we drinking?
Seriously, though. What?
I don't know. drinking well, first it was Cookie Monster Oreo Milk Stout from something. Literally, that's the name of it. Something Brewery from Brighton, Colorado.
All right.
I don't see the deets anywhere.
It was good.
On the label. It was all right. It did not taste like Oreo cookies.
Not at all.
it just tasted kind of like a,
it was a stout,
right? like a sweet stout. I'm like, okay.
I mean, in fairness, I feel like a sweet stout, if it's like a creamy milk, creamy sort of stout, they, I guess in their mind, oh, we're close enough to Oreos already.
It was
it's already got your, yeah.
finished it off here with, was this, just Psycho Penguin Vanilla Porter from Odyssey Brew Works. Again, from Colorado. Oh, this one's from Arvada.
Hey, Brian.
Mm.
So,
well, all right.
I've seen that logo before, I feel like.
Possibly when we were there.
So now, we've tried the beer that your boss got you, and now at some point we have to try the one that my boss got me
again,
from Texas.
Can't buy beer in this house anymore because everyone's like, you like beer here? And I'm just like, well, I mean, I've bought two things of beer recently and I have no idea when we'll get to it.
But yeah,
I went on a beer buying freeze for a while, and I'm at the point now where it's drunkard needs beer badly. but not for tonight. Tonight we drank the style.
So what are you drinking then?
Thank you for picking up that segue. I went, what do I have in the fridge that's gluten-free? Ignoring apparently the liquor shelf behind me, which apparently also would have counted. I grabbed some sake, as I have been wont to do recently. I grabbed some Void Sake, The Wielder. It is a Mexican hot chocolate sake. Comes in at 15% ABV. Apparently, I have bottle number 10. So I'm just looking at the stuff on the side for it. This has ancho chilies that sat in there with it for, they told me how long, and I can't remember now, a sizable amount of time. And it is, plus there's some chocolate flavoring in there to kind of give it some of that chocolatiness. It is nice. It's delicious. It is as spicy as I want a beverage to be. I'm fine with food being spicy, but I'm not always on board with all of my with a drink where I expect refreshment.
Yeah.
To be, you know, kick you in the face spice. This is right at that peak where like my mouth goes, you're fine without having to like, you just, there's enough to know that you have a kick and you're like, all right, this will do. But no, it's real tasty. It also has a, I was just thinking, like, I was trying to pick out a different taste, and all I got was, like, a nice big chunk of heat again on my tongue, and I was like, yeah. It's spicy. It's got, like, a little bit of, it's got, like, a nice, like, kind of creamy mouthfeel for it. I don't know if it's a Negori or not. It is cloudy. Well, it's not, like, as cloudy as some of the other ones, but it's... I don't know. I don't quite know how to classify all of this one, but since I think there's stuff back in it, I believe it's still a Negori, so it's not a clear Ginchu? Is the other name for it? Anyway, but good, solid choice. I think they're running low on their bottles of that now until the next time they make it, which I know they're going to make it again, so...
Mm.
I think I've managed to smuggle everyone a bottle of this by now.
It's good stuff. On my end.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about you, Casey?
I have a throwback to one of the other shows, the Cranberry Lime Kettle Sour.
So you gave me some of that finally when we got to meet up again.
Yep.
I got some. I had some in, I think, for the pre-show or like the new show last week. Oh, that was good.
Good.
Because it's Flying Dog, and you're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I keep forgetting how good Flying Dog is. Mm-hmm. Like, in my head, I don't seek them out, but every time I have one, I'm never disappointed. But this is Casey's what we're drinking, and I can't shut up.
Oh, no. I mean, I've already said I have what I have to say about it in the previous episode, so go listen to them. But it's good beer.
Oh, and especially for it being now over a year old.
Yep.
Yeah. That held well.
Yeah. Also, I love the label art and whatnot.
It makes me like cringe at how tart it had to have been. Oh, fresh.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you say cringe. I say pucker up, buttercup.
No. All right.
Speaking of puckering up, today's show was written.
Let's pucker up and kiss Casey's.
Today's show was written by Casey, using sources from a multitude of online sources, and I'm willing to bet his own hard-earned knowledge. But
the heart of the beer.
Let's not call it hard-earned. I mean, drinking is hard.
I mean,
no, it's a difficult life. Someone has to do it, and the four of us are those people.
That's right. We're doing it so you don't have to, or so you can.
That's probably fair. We want you to, within reason.
But you know what else we want you to do? Subscribe and get some great resources at haveadrinkshow.com, or follow us on Have a Drink Show on social media at twitch.tv.
And you can tell us your favorite drink, ask a question, or just leave some general feedback. Use the email address feedback@haveadrinkshow.com or the feedback page on the website. You can also throw a message in a bottle. We're in landlocked areas. I don't know how it'll get to us, but, you know, life finds a way.
The Ohio River connects to a lot of things.
And it flows north.
All joking and fun aside, we'd like to remind everyone to please drink responsibly. And also, hit us with that feedback if you have any feedback on the new, you know, format of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mess myself up every time with this.
I guess this would still be in a couple of weeks by the time they hear this, because this will go out.
Yeah,
then?
It'll also be posted on Easter weekend. So, yeah, so anyway, check us out another couple of weeks for the next live episode. And remember to check out patreon.com/haveadrinkshow, or also, I need to add this in here, haveadrinkstore.com for some merch. And once again, I'm Brittany Lee Walker.
I'm Justin Frazier.
I'm Christopher Walker.
And I'm Casey Price. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
It's found
like Founders Brewing.
No, like Diamond Club. Like they're at the 7 Acre Schwood.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's
I've been seeing pictures on Twitter, and then I had to like just turn them off because I was like, I'm just jealous.
Yeah, the last episode of DTNS, Tom was in Jury's house.
You know what? I haven't watched Jury's stream in a while to see what his setup looks like, if it's the same or not, since he's
I haven't seen
moved down at Austin.
Yeah,
I'm sure
I just
much
hear him
more
on DTNS.
Professional now. I mean, it was professional before, but I'm willing to bet it looks in my head. It looks more like a professional studio.
Well, I mean, he still does it. I think at his bedroom.
Yeah, but I'm willing to bet he's always had a studio room, but I'm just saying, like, he went above and beyond now that he's like, I own a home, so he's like, I will tear these walls down and make the walls soundproofing. And
by the way, yeah. someone's listened to World's Greatest Con now.
Oh, yes, yes. The first season.
Yeah. Second season's good. I do highly recommend it.
I'm only a couple. I think I only watched a couple episodes of it.
Very good. I started, and that it was just like, nope. It was like, we're plowing through this.
Yeah, but it's audio. They did just do like some little video things for the new one recently, but.
Well, I do have to say, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Binging through it, that connects into what I've been up to very, very well. So, listening to World's Greatest Con while working, and let's just say at the tender age of 36, I've discovered the horror of shin splints.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Because I kept telling everyone what was going on, and I was like, I've never experienced this pain before. My dad was like, sounds like shin splints. And I looked it up, and I was like, no, yeah, that, and especially when I read the thing, it's like when you go from, you know, when you change up your activity level, in a small amount of times, like you can, it's very easy to get them. And I was like, well, I went from walking maybe a mile a week, like, man, that's just like around the office and around the house, to I walked 50 miles this week.
Yeah.
On pavement, up and down hills. And it's like, nope. It started hurting Thursday a little bit. It was sore. And I was like, yeah, this is annoying. He's like, I'll ice it and stretch it and I'll be fine. Friday, I'm like, it's still a little sore. And I had about 14 miles to walk on Friday. I got to mile 7 and said, we're done. Back to the car. And
there are some stretches you can do to help with it. And I've had to try to help a little bit because there are times I've tried doing it and I'm going to start getting them again when I start getting back to running, hopefully by summertime. But it is, yeah, it's not fun.
I've never had them. Like it started, I was like, I don't know what this is. It's like some kind of cramp or something. I was like, I don't know. It's just sore in the front. I was like, why is it sore in the front?
Why is it sore in my shins?
Well, that's the thing. It's really low on mine. But I'm like, I guess technically it's close to the shin. I was like, because I kept wanting to say it's more of my ankle.
I would feel mine all up and down my shins. And, you know, that's... I used to get it bad when I did cross country too in high school. But God, now where I'm old and fat, it's,
isn't that all?
I was fat then too, but you know, fatter. Yeah,
well,
sorry.
That's a good segue actually. Cause I found that clip. The thing,
clip.
You stopped eating gluten, you'd feel way fucking better all day. Whenever you feel shitty, that's because of gluten.
That's not true. Who it the is. Fuck told you not to eat gluten?
It's just true.
You don't even know what gluten
is. I know
is.
What fucking gluten is.
No, you have no idea
I
what
I do
gluten
know what gluten is. Gluten's a vague term. It's something that's used to categorize things that are bad. You know? Calories. That's a gluten. Fat. That's a gluten.
Somebody just told you probably shouldn't eat gluten. You're like, oh, I guess I shouldn't eat gluten.
Gluten means bad shit, man. And I'm not eating it.
Mmm. Oh. Each bite is better than the previous bite. Gluten!
Gluten!
Because they're eating Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The inferior Hardee's.
Man, Hardee's used to be back when I worked at the Mac, was the splurge day. Like, we had a long day. It's like, you know what? Let's splurge. We're going to Hardee's for lunch, everybody.
Anyone else remember the $6 burger?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
I also remember eating like a triple burger from there one time and like trying to work the rest of the day. I was still like 16 and I still like my body went, no. Nope.
Yeah. Till you get the meat sweats.
Yeah, that's Arby's is a magical, or Hardee's is a magical, they're both magical places.
No, Hardee's Arby's more is so. Arby's is a dumpster fire, but Hardee's.
Hardee's is a magical place where you can get fried chicken and biscuits, gigantic, amazing cheeseburgers. You used to be able to also get roast beef sandwiches. I mean, it was like
they had one of the better fast food biscuits and gravy that I could find.
Yeah, the not in the very like recent past, you could get a fried bologna biscuit in the mornings.
Mm.
They're not even like trying to be sly, but they're just like, yeah, this is
garbage. Bad for you.
Yeah, this is basically the Heart Attack Grill, but not.
Look, you
but
knew
fat
what
guys
you,
don't eat free.
Well, like, look, you knew what this was when you walked in.
Yeah, like we're not even trying to pretend here.
On band trips, like for pet band, before we would leave in the afternoon, like on a Friday, if we were going for traveling for a football game or something, me and Pat would always run across the street, and we'd each get a box of fried chicken, and just demolish it. And it even like became a joke that we were sucking the marrow out of the bones. God.
I never actually got to have Hardee's much. Did we even have a Hardee's in Paintsville?
You did.
Did you have a Hardee's? Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I don't even know. I've had like the breakfast thing you're talking about. Like I've had Hardee's breakfast maybe once or twice, and all I remember is like that
cinnamon roll.
Yes, the cinnamon raisin.
Yeah, you had to have had a Hardee's because the number of times I would have to go up for like because I would do during academic team stuff, I'd have to go up that way some Saturdays, and Dad would be, "We're going by Hardee's. I need coffee and hash browns, and you need biscuits and gravy." You're right, I do need biscuits and gravy. Thank you for enabling me, Dad.
Yeah. I guess I just never bothered with it.
There was
I also worked at McDonald's, so it's like I didn't really have a lot of time to just.
Yeah, that's fair. There was a day I remember when back when I worked at the Mac, that something had gone wrong, and they couldn't get, you know, catered food to us like they were expecting us to, because like, you know, we would eat whatever catering the acts had at the show, and they went, "Oh yeah, there's none for you guys." Oh, no! So meals are on the company today, and we were placing an order to Hardee's, and we just went, "Make everything a large. Add an extra of this. I need a milkshake to go with mine in addition to my drink."
Yep.
It's like, I ain't paying for this. We're getting fat tonight, guys.
I'll do a number whatever with an extra patty added to it, and then can I get a side of another number?
Oh God, we ate like kings. Casey, anything what sort of shenanigans you been up to?
I'm eating a spicy pepperoni pizza right now.
Oh.
I'm on my like cut down on pizza for at least another week kick right now. So
probably a good idea.
I would eat it every single day and tried to. In high school and or no middle school, and it's how we discovered I can't do that.
And then college, it was twice a week.
Yep,
Monday yeah. nights and Thursday nights.
Yeah,
you had a schedule.
That's when the guy came with pizza in the back of. Yeah, that's when the pizza man came with hot pizzas for $5 and the back of his SUV.
Remember this
with pizza that had to have been treated with formaldehyde. That shit didn't age.
It didn't. It didn't spoil. You set it on top of the air conditioner. That was cold enough. You could keep Monday nights all the way to Wednesday nights. Wow.
God, it was.
That.
It yeah. cut through you like a knife, and you didn't care because it was pizza late at night.
It stayed fresher longer on the air conditioner than it would in you.
It wasn't good for you.
I actually enjoyed it. I got to the point where I was like, all right, this ain't bad.
Look, I would still eat it. I would eat it without complaints. But I would acknowledge it was not among my hierarchy of better pizzas.
And then the guy got put in jail for vote buying.
Yep.
Probably with pizzas.
Well, he was running for stuff while he was selling his pizzas, so it was not that long after we left.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
And then passed away not long ago after that, after he got out of jail.
Jesus. Yeah, that's right.
He just missed the legitimacy market of just he's had to have an app.
Yeah. He oh was, God. I mean, literally, I don't, it was like a forerunner or something, but that sucker was from the back all the way up to the passenger seat.
And we,
floor
we
to ceiling pizzas.
Yeah. Cause our dorms were the last ones he stopped at. He would go over to the other ones first. He would go over to the first two sets of dorms first. Cause he'd come up that road.
Yeah.
And we were the last stop.
Let me say, were there just like college kids chasing him?
Pizza man. No, he went to the dorms because he knew because our dorms had curfews, and he knew to show up just before curfew. And we would, walk out there, $5. Here's your pizza.
There would be a wow break.
Yeah, that would be. It'd be like in the middle of shit. All right, everybody, stop what we're doing. Like, what? We're in the middle of the entire raid. Can wait. We have pizza to here. Get.
Yeah. And then if he didn't, he usually sold out. But if he didn't sell out, just sitting out there.
Roam our halls.
Yep, he would walk through the hall yelling, "Hot pizza, $5." Wow.
But was it really hot?
I mean, that was the crazy part about it. I wonder how he steamed on the way over there. Because if you think you pack a car full of hot pizza straight out of the oven, yeah, and then you drive, you're going to get hot.
Mm-hmm.
That or he just had the exhaust was broke and pointed up through the floorboard.
I was going to say, that may be why he died. Carbon monoxide.
Could have been. But yeah, that was definitely a developing part of my childhood for sure. It was Hot Pizza Man.
Yeah, like I can hear his voice some days when I'm eating pizza. I go to Little Caesars for a hot and ready, like a $5, and I just go, "Hot pizza, $5.
Yep.
Except I don't get the $5 one anymore. I get the $6 one because.
Well, I think all of them are up over $5 now.
They may actually be over $5, but I refuse to. I refuse to call it by the name they have it on the menu because it's grammatically
extra most is better.
Oh my god!
Because it's grammatically incoherent.
No, that's
extra most bestest.
I say that's different from a hot and ready.
It is different from the hot and ready, but they also have it ready.
Yeah,
all the same thing, really.
It's the same thing with just extra pepperoni and maybe extra cheese.
No, they use a different cheese blend for the hot and readies. Found this out recently. So they use 100% mozzarella on all the pizzas except for the hot and readies. The hot and readies have a mozzarella Munster blend.
Ooh.
Mm, okay.
So which if you've explains ever, the addictive nature.
Yeah, if you've ever been like the hot and readies just have something about them, it's because
they actually do.
It's a Munster blend of cheese that goes into it. I guess they somehow get that cheaper, and that's probably one of the ways they drop the cost.
See, the other thing about that also has that extra little kick of they have something about them is my grandfather, when he would get them, would slide them into the oven just straight onto the rack right after he would buy them. He'd bring them home and then just immediately toss it into the oven for, 10 minutes and then pull it back out. Mm. Crispiest bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes an entire difference for those. Like all of a sudden you're taking a bite out of it and you're just like, the game has been changed. It's like those pizzas that you buy that like literally you buy a pizza that's uncooked and then you take it home and cook it.
Yeah,
that's essentially what that is at that point. It's like, oh, it's not quite finished. Take it home and finish it off.
So, pre-cooked. So it must be cooked again.
He treated it like it was Papa Murphy's.
Man,
yes, Papa Murphy's. That's what I'm thinking of. Yes,
those were awesome. That place doesn't exist anymore, but those were awesome pizzas.
I just remember you could get the giant like tub of cookie dough to make
home. And, they didn't sell you cookies either. They sold you the tub of cookie dough, raw like, cookie dough.
They didn't own an oven, actually.
They didn't?
Ovens are for quitters.
I just remember the pizzas were so big in our apartment.
Pizzas big?
Yeah. It barely fit in the oven.
No.
Yeah. Like it was so big, like it, like the sides of the dough were like rubbing against the sides of the oven.
Yeah, that's, man, we went on a pizza tangent I wasn't expecting tonight. That's, this has been fun.
What, what else? Casey's kind of buried the lead with, oh, what have you been up to? It's like, oh, nothing. It's like, we just literally had to drag your ass from a concert.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got the, was that at the brewery?
Oh, no.
Oh, you were just at a concert.
It's
oh,
at
okay.
the expo, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
These bands sold out of 7,000 seat arena.
Gotcha. Wow. I didn't. Yeah. I barely heard the bands earlier when I was like doing something else. So
they actually sold out 4 months ago, something like that. But I've been watching Scalpers, and I found one that had one listed up online on StubHub for cheaper than the list price of the ticket. And I was like,
nice.
Yep.
That's someone who had to cancel and just needed to try to recoup something.
And it was only a single ticket. That was the. It would be fine if you like had a couple, but just one person, a single ticket. Nope. There ain't a whole lot of people going by themselves.
So that does remind me. They were giving away tickets for an Eagles show in Louisville on the radio this week, and because the tickets went on sale this week, and I did think, you know what, it's one of my parents' favorite bands. I will try to see if I can find tickets for the Eagles for mom and dad. And I'm on the website. I found not good seats, but like middle, like in direct view of the stage in nosebleeds. They are $360, I think, a piece.
Not for the Eagles.
Dumb.
And I went, well, I just went, okay. I had some seats picked out. I was like, maybe I could try to go. Maybe, I don't know. And I sent a text. I called dad real quick before I got, like, you have X amount of minutes before. I was like, let me call dad. Dad, I have like a few seconds to talk. Do you want to go see the Eagles? And he went, your mom may have to cancel last minute. Don't buy them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I told him afterwards, like, how much are those tickets going to be? I was like, probably $1,000 total. God, like, yeah, if I was going to try to go too. And he just went, I wouldn't have been able to enjoy anything if I'd known you had dropped that much money. And I went, I wouldn't have told you.
Yeah, that's the point.
But yeah, that was one that I was like, it's like for, and I also like, that's the thing. I was like, I knew those tickets are going to be incredibly overpriced. And also there's only one original member of the band and Joe Walsh. Like that's all you're going to see at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't bring myself to pay a whole lot for tickets to anything because I've seen what they've become. And so I was like, you know, earlier I was talking about, I was like, oh, Less Than Jake's going to be in town on a Saturday. Like, I could legitimately go to this with very few issues. But I'm like, I'm used to paying $20 to go see a roster of like four bands that I love, not $50 for one band I like. Like, yeah. It's not worth it. My life's gotten to a point that was like when we'd seen all the bands that we loved so much, and it was like, yeah, we're not traveling for concerts anymore unless it's like a lineup that we can't resist. Because we used to go to Cleveland all the time.
God, I don't miss that part though. And so tired.
We were in Cleveland and Columbus all the time because they got all like the big national runners and all this stuff. And we never paid more than like $20-$25 a ticket for shows. And now it's like $50 a ticket and I'm driving like 5 hours. Like,
negative.
No.
Yeah.
I will say, Casey, I'm trying to keep an eye out for the next Protoman show that comes anywhere nearby. They went on tour recently and they're...
Yep. They were in at Exit Inn, I'm pretty sure.
This was the end of their tour, yeah.
Yep.
But I'm wanting them to come back to Lexington at some point because I have convinced a number of my friends they need to see them. I've got Justin to start playing the Protoman at Void on like their Pandora station. Like I've nice. Introduced it to people, and now like if you're in there at a certain time, he looks around and like no one here but us nerds. Boom. And he's also said like, this station is just a grab bag of nonsense at a certain point. It's like, yeah, that's what you get when you put the Protoman into anything. It makes no sense anymore.
So, Casey, next year for Hillbilly Days, you all need to try and get Rev Peyton booked at the brewery.
You even.
God, that'd be a fun show. I'd brave Hillbilly Days for that.
How many times have we seen him now? Like 4 or 5 times at least?
Half a dozen, yeah.
I mean, I've seen him twice, I think, now. Which is not a lot. I don't go to a lot of concerts.
Well, we've had opportunities, too. Just, I mean, since they're from Indiana. So
they're, not far. So when they do, well, whatever town, I don't think there is a town. They always just say Brown County. Is where they're from, and like when they do hometown quote shows, it's in Cincinnati or over here in Newport. Mm.
See, because the first time I saw them was with you know, all of us went to go see them together because they were like the middle act for a Flogging Molly show.
Yeah, because that's who discovered them.
Yeah, and we folk
festival.
Yeah, and we had this moment in the middle of that thing where like. It was a routine by that point for those shows was like the first act sucked and the middle act was usually pretty solid. And then we watched the main show we came for. But there was that, like you were seeing Rev Peyton come out, like it's a washboard player.
Mm-hmm. What is that on fire?
He's like, what are we about to see? And I think it was, Matt's wife, Tasha saying like, I don't know how you turned a crowd ready to mosh into singing
Amazing Grace.
Singing gospel songs at the end of this, but and you're like, yeah, those guys had some energy about them that they'd get you on your side.
Too.
They know how to do a show. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
More Rev in my life.
Well, you know what? I also love the story
of him trying to tell someone like, you guys don't have a bass player. Where's your bass setup? No, I do it. I play bass and guitar.
It's my thumb.
Sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know what I need more in my life? And I think Brittany does, too.
Sleep?
Yep.
Literally, yeah, always. I was going to say, we need to wrap this up.
Yeah,
We got a youngin' that gets up. Yeah, he's been getting up a half hour early, which to Brittany was grounds to like throw him out the damn window. But we've been missing sleep and
4:30 in the morning, guys, every day this last week.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
My alarm goes off at 4:45 and there was one day, I think it was like the first day of it when he just laid there, I guess, after he woke up and I was creeping after my alarm went off, shutting his door so I could get ready for work. As soon as I got the door shut, I hear, eh. I open the door and I walk in and he goes, Dad, you closed the door on me.
He's like, God damn it.
So I took him and threw him in the bed with her. I was like, here.
I was going to say, you just take him and you just go, sleepy.
We tried that. And
that does not work.
We tried that one morning and he screamed. So we realized he can never know. He has the upper hand because we live in an apartment. He screamed, and it sounded like a woman being fucking murdered. And so I was like, if he finds out that that's all he has to do and we, like, have to cave to whatever it is, I was like, it's over.
See, my version of sleepy is when I'm playing, like a stealth game or, like, Batman or something where, like, you're choking a guy out. That's the sleepy I was talking about. You just sneak up behind him and just go, sleepy, sleepy. He's got tiny lungs. He'll be out in like seconds.
I watched, I've been watching a lot of like Steve-O videos. And apparently there was a time when like that whole crew was learning how to choke people out. Sure. And it got real dark real quick because like people weren't waking up immediately.
They don't.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the first couple times you're good, but like the more it happened, the longer they were staying out, and they were like, "Guys, we can't be doing this anymore."
Nope.
Well, and you don't say. The jackass guys are being irresponsible. Not that Johnny Knoxville has permanent brain damage now.
From a bull.
And it, like, a concussion could be it. Like, he could... He already has... I didn't realize that. He's like, he has speech problems legitimately from his brain damage. And he's like... another concussion could be it. And he could be comatose. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Well, folks, it's been fun. It's been real. I want to go to bed and eat this last piece of pizza.
Sounds great.
All right.
Oh, I wanna,
good night, everybody.
I want to do what Casey's doing.
All right. Good night, folks.
See ya.
Night, bye.
Bye.
Bye.